Shout amen. Let's look at Joshua chapter 18 first. And I'm going to read here in verses 2 and 3. And there remaineth among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Let's go over here to Romans chapter 1, please. Verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Glory to God. Now this is interesting. Is that thunder that I hear? You said it's in the rain. We said it's in the rain. It doesn't take church folks long to come up with something. You know, faith, once you come into the kingdom, becomes a lifestyle. I mean, it's not something that you just use every now and then, because you can't store faith up. You got to use it, or you'll find you'll start losing it. So you've got to operate in faith. You've got to stay in faith. And we started this ministry in faith. We started these faith conferences in faith. I mean, we didn't have all we have now, but we started it. And we started it by faith. And one of the things that was brought out yesterday, that faith is not something you do to get God to move. That was worth you coming to the conference right there. That is not the way faith is. That's not the way this kingdom works. Because the Bible talks about, over in Isaiah in chapter 57 and verse 15, it talks about God. Moffat's translation also refers to him as the Eternal. It says, for thus saith the high and holy and lofty one that inhabiteth where? Eternity. And when you get to dealing with eternity, you'll find that eternity has no time. Not as we know it. It's eternal. And God finished everything. It's the finished work of God. One of the scriptures was read last night. It was talking about Romans chapter 4, and there are two verses there. I used to preach them all the time. Verse 13 and verse 16. And verse 13 says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And verse 16 says, therefore it's of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that which is also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. The promise might be sure to all the seed. I was meeting with our partners this morning. I was talking about faith. We were talking about John chapter 6. And over in John chapter 6, Jesus put something out there to the disciples, and he said in verse 5, then Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come to him. And he said to Philip, now where can we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now prove, he's like, I'm gonna test you out. I've been teaching you this. Now I'm gonna see what you're gonna say. Now where can we buy bread that these may eat? And then Philip said to him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now look at that in the NIV translation. And look and see how it expands on this. He said, and Philip answered, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Now notice, immediately he connected his provision with how long he could work for it. See, whether it's you or somebody else. I mean, it's an interesting thing that if you hit the lottery and buy an airplane, you're okay. Isn't that very interesting? See, but if you get it by faith, the devil didn't want you to have it by faith because you didn't come through his system. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to show you how to get your needs met without going through the devil's system. I'm going to show you this system that he set up. You can operate above it and outside of it and get every need met. And let me give you some good news. That job is not able to give you anywhere close to what God has planned for you to have. See, that's why that Brother Copeland said on Monday night, he said it's better for some of you if you didn't even have a salary. The reason why is because you got a 15th and 30th mentality. See, everything God's trying to do for you on the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, you can't receive it. He said the screen has blocked that out. You're waiting on the 15th. You don't wait on the 15th. The 15th for you is right now. It's a... Faith is not the 15th. Faith is always now. And I'm telling you what happened to, I looked it up and I said, man, that's what Jacob ran up against. Because as long as Jacob was counting on that salary, Laban was beating him out of everything he had. The Bible says in Genesis 30 or 31, it said, your father has changed my wages how many times? 10 times. See, Satan can manipulate that. He'll make you get, he'll let you get a raise, but he'll raise up the loaf of bread. See, so you really didn't make anything. Matter of fact, you lost something. Now, my point to you is you're coming out of that. He said, how long are you going to be slack to take the rest of what I've called you to do? And I'm telling you, the church has been a little bit slack, but this particular meeting, something has happened. I said, something has happened. You want your stuff. I mean, you want all of it. Come on. You want totally out of debt? Come on. You want everything in your body to function like God called it to function? Come on. You want that job? You want that business? You want that marriage? You want that husband? Everything that this book has promised you? I want it and I want it. It is time for the church to do something or be something or have something that nobody else can have without God. The Bible says that you should be a city set on a what? Hill. That means folk ought to be looking up to you. I said, from this night, you will be an attraction. Oh, to God. Folk gonna want to be like you. But But let's go back to that now. So he said, hey, 200 penny worth of bread, half year's wages. See? And they're thinking about, let's see, now how are we going to work and do this too? This ministry thing, and how are we going to, And that when God called me to leave in the corporate world and go full time, that's what got me. The thing got me is, hey, wait a minute, how am I going to do this now? All right? The baby needs new shoes, and how am I going to do all of this? See, I didn't see myself in going into something that was a blessing. I saw myself losing something. But that is not true. God never calls you into lesser. He always calls you into the greater. You are going from faith to faith, from blessing to blessing. And so then he said, then he answered him and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what is that among so many? Wow. Now there's 2 things that he's doing here. One, he's trying to operate in faith and in reason at the same time. I got a name for faith, a name called crazy faith. Crazy faith is people whose minds are no longer governed by what makes sense. Say amen to that. And that's kind of the way you're going to have to deal with God, because when God speaks to you, he speaks to you and says something that doesn't quite make sense. And you're going to have to take it by what? You're going to have to take it by faith. The Bible says Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand. What does that mean? That means that you'll understand it better by and by. What you need to do now is just take it. You know, last night, I tell you, the first time I saw that, I said, he read the scripture. He said, and Jesus came to them walking on the water and would have what? Passed them by. You remember that? That song came up. Please don't pass me by. Okay, don't learn that. That's okay. That was great. I said, that's where they got that song from. So, No, there's a lad here. Now, this is that scripture over in Romans chapter 8, Romans and chapter 4 and verse 16. Now, this is that scripture, see. He said that therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace that the promise might be sure to how many? All the seed. See, there's a lad here. This little boy was as much a seed of Abraham as his parents were. Say amen to that. Amen. And this boy says, you know, they said there's a lad here. He's got 2 fish and 5 loaves, but what is that among so many? That is verse, I don't know whether I read that. That is verse 9. But what is that among so many? So I'm just saying to you that if there's a 12-year-old and he's born again, he's got the same faith as a 40-year-old. Now, when I say that, I mean he's got the same measure. See, God, the Bible says over in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, gives to all men the measure of faith. So he, once you get saved, faith is injected in your heart. He gives you the same measure of love. Once you get saved, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, come on, by the Holy Ghost. Once you get saved, you got the same righteousness. Once you get saved, you have the same privileges to use his name. So don't think the kids can do less than you can. No, y'all ain't participating here. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 9. I'm coming back to John chapter 6. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, 2 blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, what? Yea, Lord. That means yes. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Thank God he didn't say, according to your race, be it unto you. Thank God he didn't say, according to your bank account, according to your Yale degree, according to your country. He didn't say that. What did he say? It's according to your faith. One thing qualifies you, and that's your faith. And according to your faith, be it unto you. And I'm telling you, everybody gets saved, and when you get saved, the measure of faith is injected in your heart. Now it's up to you to strengthen that faith. It's up to you to grow that faith, to increase that faith. That's up to you. And we are supposed to go from faith to what? Faith. You're never supposed to be at the same level this year as you were last year. Your faith should be growing every day. I started out believing God for a necktie. I believe God. Then I believe God for a parking space. Downtown Chicago, God knows you need faith to do that. Parking space. I'm telling my people were just pulling out as I was coming up. I started out believing God, he'd do this and a little thing do that, and then got bigger and bigger, and now I'm believing God for airplanes, shopping malls. I'm believing God, come on, for countries to go into that and put Joseph schools. I'm talking about with faith. And if you don't have faith, you can't get in there. Glory to God. And God wants you to go to all the world. He wants you not only to reap the souls that are in there, but take back every piece of property that the devil just sold. The church should be the biggest landowners in every city. One more time. The church should be the biggest landowners in every... One more time. The church should be the biggest landowners in every city. Now, you just looking at me right now and just listening to me preach. I'm talking to you. You are the church. You, come on, you should be the biggest. Now, how you gonna get it? You're not gonna get it by earning it. You're gonna get it by believing it. You're gonna get it because you're gonna go to property and you're gonna speak to that property. You, come on, you're gonna decree something over that property. You're gonna let your feet tread on that property. Folks, we didn't get this mall because we had money. God, that devil, if you don't have no faith and got money, he will control you. He didn't get this faith because we hooked up with somebody in politics. Somebody came in my office and said, Reverend, how did you do this? I said, God did it. No, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about how did you do it? See, he thought I somehow went in my pocket and say, hey, if you just give me some. Listen. I don't need your favor. I got God's favor. And when you got God's favor, God will bring property into your hands. Come on. He's about to take you into a place you can't afford. He's about to take you into a battle you can't win. So what am I saying? Sit down. I got to finish this. Saints, you heard the word this week. It's time to mobilize. It's time, come on, it's time to go get our stuff. I said it's time to get it. So he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And see, I want you to see here because that's what qualifies you now. And it's by grace. That it might be, it's by faith, but it might be by grace. The grace has already provided the things for you. That if God has not already provided it, your faith is not going to make it happen. Man, that's good. See, eternal means that everything is finished. It's finished. It's finished. When God worked 6 days, he worked 6 days with Abraham and 6 days, six days in Adam in the beginning, and 6 days he made everything. Then at the end of the sixth day, he made something called a man. So why did he make the man at the end? Because everything up to that point was made to serve him. I said, everything in this earth was made to serve you. Now, what did the devil do? He flipped that thing. See, because of Adam's sin, now Adam lost his authority. He lost his headship. Now he's being controlled. The enemy's got control of it. The Bible calls him the God of this world. And so what has Jesus got to do? Jesus got to come, had to come and bring us back to the original power and provision that Adam had before the fall. And he's got to do a complete job of redemption. That he came to destroy everything that would mock your redemptive testimony. I mean, everything that's under this curse. You go in this Bible and look at it. If it's under the curse, you can get rid of it. See, how long you're going to be slack? He didn't mean for you to just get saved. That wasn't the idea. The idea wasn't that you just get saved. The man talked about it here. He said there were three categories. You remember the man putting up the poster there? The first one was in Egypt. What was that one? That was what?
Failure.
All right, failure. And the next one was what? Survival. People are just surviving, man. You're just barely getting enough paycheck to pay those bills and just get home, so forth and so on. That's not where he wants us. Where does he want us? He wants us thriving, but he wants us to have more than enough. It should be that I say, wait a minute, we're going to build a new worship center and it's going to cost $43 million. I need to open up the doors and get people now to pledge their giving, and the doors are open for you now to give, and a hand goes up over here. Pastor, I got $5 million. A hand goes up here. Pastor, I got $3.5 million. A hand goes up back here. Pastor, I got $6 million. Pastor, in two minutes, watch this. I close it and say, that's enough. You know, and the man over here gets mad. Wait a minute, you didn't give me a chance to give mine. I'm here to tell you, folks, it should be that we won't have to put a table out here and say, who got $25? How much you got, sister? I got $17.95. Hey, who got $3? Don't do that anymore. Take them small buckets, throw them out, get yourself some baskets, start passing them down the aisle, because the church is about to be rich. I'm saying that God is about to convert into the church. The kingdom of God is about to be expressed with God's people. I'm saying that the wealth of the wicked has been laid up for the just, and we're not going to leave it laid up anymore. It's coming into the house of God. All I got to say is, pastors, you better get ready to manage rich folk. Sit down. Now, I know you say, well, this man is a little off. Well, I found out this, that when you're going into God's best, get ready to go by yourself. Because I never had such persecution until I got this shopping mall. They didn't say nothing to me when I was broke. They didn't say a word. But as we grew and as we accumulated things for the ministry, for the kingdom of God, looked like the persecution started. And I would think it would just start from the outside. It was my brethren. Now, we forgive people, so I ain't hating nobody. My point to you is that you got to, can you stand to be blessed? Because it is amazing what fruit will attract. According to your faith, be it unto you. There's a lad here. The land here. See, the tendency is, kids, y'all going outside and play. What? What you, wait a minute. Let's go over to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. Say, according to your faith be it unto you. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets to Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. You know my servant, that servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take him to my two sons to be bondmen. Now her husband died. Now, as I examine the scriptures, I really believe that her husband was a man that was over here that was hiding the prophets from Jezebel. But I believe he borrowed money to do God's work. And then something backed up on him, and the pressure of borrowed money came on him. His blood pressure went up, and he had a stroke and died. Now, that's my, this is me now. Okay. You can't prove I'm wrong. I know this, he wasn't supposed to be dead. Not leaving those kids like that, that won't. All right, let's look at the next verse. So she cried. Now that doesn't mean she boo-hooed. That cry is a cry of faith. He's making a demand on this prophet's anointing. He's placing a demand, and faith places a demand on God's promises. And that's why when the woman with the issue of blood said, if I can just touch his what? Clothes, I shall be whole. Then notice what she did. She touched it, and the Bible says virtue flowed out of him. And then he turned around and said, who touched me? And the person that was with him said, Master, you see all these people pushing on you. He said, no. Somebody touched me. Now notice, nobody got the virtue except that one woman. Say amen. Amen. Now, see, it didn't mean that the promise wasn't available for everybody, but it's only released by faith. That's Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. So I'm saying this faith thing has a lot to do with how far we're going. And somehow we get saved by faith and stop with faith. That's not the idea. The idea is you want to stay in faith and finish in faith. And that finishing in faith, you want all that God says that you're supposed to have. The best of God is not getting sick and being healed. That is not the best. The best of God is that every virus, disease, and germ that touches your body dies instantly. That's the best of God. And you and I can walk in that. All right, so... Where was I? Okay, 2 Kings. All right. And Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me what's in your house. And she said, thine handmaids are not anything in the house except a pot of oil. Now, what that oil was is the thought it's burial oil, which was worth many years' wages to get that oil. Very, very valuable to her. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Don't borrow a few. See, we're dealing with God now. we're dealing with God. Now, that was Brother Copeland's message as well. We got to do this bountiful thinking. We got to get ourselves out of this shortage mentality. All right? Don't borrow a few. And when you come in, shut the door upon you and your sons, and you shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which was full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons. Now notice what she didn't say. Y'all get out of here. Go play. Mama got some business to take care of. Now, they were going to participate in the miracle because God wants you to pass faith on as a legacy. When you're out of here, he wants your kids to take up where you left off. Glory to God. And so what happened? So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought her the vessels to her. And she did what? She poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, what? Bring me yet a vessel. Notice the sons are participating in this move of faith. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to? Folks, we got to look at it differently. If your child is saved, they've got the same faith you do. And the faith you have is the faith Jesus has. And the faith Jesus had is the faith God has. That's the same faith that created the universe. He has given you that kind of faith. Say amen. That is faith that can raise the dead, can move the mountain, so forth and so on. Notice things are already done, but your faith has to be there to convert it from the unseen to the seen realm. Lord have mercy. Help me, Holy Ghost. Next verse. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said to her, there's not a vessel more. And what happened to the oil? Notice the provision stopped when the demand stopped. The provision stopped when the demand stopped. Glory to God. I said the provision stopped when the demand stopped. See, don't try to make it easy on God. Make it hard on him. Don't try to make it within your ability to do it. I got a choice right now of something I'm supposed to do, and I can go two ways. The way that won't cost me anything hardly. I mean, I can do that. I know I can do that. But then this other way. And I'm telling you, I'm saying, Lord Jesus, should I do that again? Well, you know which one he wants me to do. So I'm trying to get enough faith up to do it. So I'm being transparent now. I said, can I be transparent? And then, you know, select something. Don't sleep with the frogs another night. You know. Now, I'm talking about Pharaoh. Remember what he told Pharaoh? He said, now, when do you want me to get rid of these frogs? Pharaoh said, tomorrow. Tomorrow? Man, if you got frogs in your refrigerator, you want them out tonight. But I'm saying anything that doesn't measure up to God's promise to you, then you are undone. You got to say, hey, wait a minute. I still have some more land to take. And make up your mind that you're going to take that land. Say amen to that. Now, I'm doing something with this. I'm making a point with this. Because this point really needs to be made with God's people. Because what has happened many times is we've transferred the world of thinking into the kingdom. And we got brought into the kingdom, but our minds are still not transformed. And we're still thinking like we were in the world. And you got to stop thinking like that. Because in the kingdom, God is no respecter of persons. What he'll do for me, he'll do for you. And what he'll do for us, he'll do for somebody in Africa. What he'll do, come on now, it doesn't make any difference. So here's this son. This man said, there's a lad here. I'm still with that. And he says here, according to your faith, be it unto you. Let's go back to 1 Samuel, please. In 1 Samuel, in chapter 17. Over in 1 Samuel, chapter 17, here's David. Now, David's coming to the front line. This is verse 32. I'll just start right there. Now, notice what happened. The giants are before them. And these giants are busy tormenting them. I mean, that's what Satan likes to do. He likes to bring fear in your life. Say, fear not.
Fear not.
I don't care how bad it looks, no more fear. I said, no more fear. It's designed to contaminate your faith and make it so it won't work. So David said to Saul, Saul is the king, let no man's heart fail because of him. And remember, on Sunday night, our speaker talked about a broken heart. Talked about, what did he say called it?
Wounded.
Wounded spirit. Remember he talked about that? A spirit that is wounded or damaged, it's difficult to create the force of faith to come out of it, to do what needs to be done. Are you following what I'm saying? And there's a spirit called a Jebusite. A Jebusite spirit is a spirit, I put it down here, that it literally means to beat down. You ever heard somebody say, he got a beat down? It's an enforcer of the caste concept, C-A-S-T-E, where you have this group in this level and you never move out. This group at that next level and they never can change levels. This group at that level, India has a caste system, but those are demons enforcing that. So those same demons come to America to enforce racism. And that's why a lot of times a certain people of a certain color can't get out of a certain situation, because they're trying to get out without the power of God coming against the forces that are unseen, designed to keep them in there. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching to them. But if you can get faith in your life, that's what the devil doesn't want, because faith can fix anything. Faith, come on now. When they were going from one side over to the other, here comes a storm designed to kill them, designed to sink their boat. Why? Because they're going from faith to what? Faith. And now they're going over, here comes a storm. It didn't come up because of God's will. It came up because Satan was in control of systems that are designed to sink your boat if you don't have faith. I don't care how much money you got, you can't whip Satan. I don't care how much prestige you got, how much education you got, Satan can fool you in a New York minute. I'm telling you, the only thing that can beat Satan is Jesus. And Jesus is in you. Come on, the Holy Ghost is your teacher. He's gonna be the one that can tell you what to do, and then you release the faith and God will take care of your situation. So I'm telling you right now, it wasn't Abraham Lincoln that got them off the cotton field. It was their faith. I'm telling you, somebody was in prayer. Somebody, Hassan Darabahaya. Somebody, come on now. And God had Abe to sign the paper. But I'm telling you, it wasn't a man that got you out of slavery. It was the... You better hear what I'm talking about. You're going to have to start in faith, stay in faith, and finish in faith. Now, where is your finish? Your finish is at the top of your game. God has a room for you at the top. And the higher you go, the more influence you're going to have. See, when you get to upper levels, you can drop your foot in the water and water will ripple all out over the place. God wants it so that if you drop your foot in New York, it'll ripple all the way to Pennsylvania. God wants, amen to that. I don't know what your area of expertise is, whether you're an architect, whether you're a bricklayer, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a school teacher, I'm here to tell you, God wants you to take your mountain. Whatever mountain you have, God wants you to take it. And faith works by love. You're going to have to love your way to the top. When they talk about you, you're going to have to embrace them. When they come on, falsely accuse you, you're going to have to say, God, I'm not guilty, and let God get you out of it. I'm telling you what's going to happen. We are not done with what God wants us to do. We are about to get into the best life we've ever had in this earth. We didn't come to take sides. We came to take over. Sit down. Oh, have mercy. Look at verse 33. Look at verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go up against this Philistine to fight him, for thou art but a who? Youth. And he a man of war from his what? Youth. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept my father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and I took the lion and took the lion out of my flock. And next thing you know, I went after him, I smote him, I delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, I smote him and slew him. I'm here to tell you right now, all that was a 16-year-old boy. I'm saying that notice what he's doing now. Saul tried to disqualify him. You going back home, keep cheap. You can't do nothing here. Honey, let me tell you, when that boy tells you, Dad, I want a new bike. He tells you that. You say you got a picture of it. He goes in and gets a picture of it. He said, money don't grow on trees. You say this. Say, now, is this the best one you got? He said, yeah, Dad, that's a $400 bike. Okay, fine. All right, you know what to do, son, don't you? Yes, sir. He goes right in his toy box. He get that Nintendo game that you just bought. You stood in line for 2 hours to get that game for him. He gets that, goes to his friend that's needy. He gives it to him. And you better start cleaning out that garage, because that bicycle is on the way. He's but a youth, but he got the same faith. And what has happened is we've looked at it carnally. We've looked at it like people who are not saved. Get out of here, kids. Get out of here. Come on in here and help me believe your tuition. Come on. We're about to send you to Harvard. Come on, we got to get $55 million. $9 million, boy, I'm thinking big. You know, I can't even think small no more. I try to say thousand, million come out. I try to say million, billions come out. Okay, bye-bye, Daystar. God bless you. See you next time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But what am I saying? The same faith. Yes. Say same faith.
Same.
He said, get your boys and tell them to bring you something. Tell them to bring it in here. Go out and get to the... Why? Let them participate in it. They don't need to go play. Come on, bring it in here and teach them how to use their faith. Here's David. So according to your what?
Faith
be it unto you.
Yes,
so what am I saying now? I'm saying the enemy comes in to try to break our spirit. Now, how do you keep your spirit built up? Look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. I got to keep my spirit built up. My son, attend to my word. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the where? Midst of thine heart. Do you realize you're not supposed to say anything that God didn't say? You are representing the kingdom. And representative of the kingdom is an ambassador, and you don't say anything your country didn't say. Say, I'm on assignment. And God is holding you accountable for the words you speak. Say what God says. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So, look what he says. For they are life to those that find them. And health and what? To all their flesh. One translation says, they are medicine. Now, when you operate in faith, understand, once you confess something, give God time to make it happen. All right, let's go over to that. Let's go over to Mark chapter 11. Now, I'm just wrapping up what all these speakers talked about. That's all I'm doing. I said, that's all I'm doing. Oh, look what he says in Mark chapter 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. He saw a fig tree far off having leaves. He came to it, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, I call this religion. Religion is a form of godliness, but it has no power. Ain't no power. You'll see religion. Religion talks loud, jumps up, run around the church, and everything. And go back home and nothing's changed. Now, I'm not talking about people that can get excited about Jesus. My point to you is, don't let it be a form of God. Don't be trying to do something in front of people so they'll thank you so holy. And you still broke, marriage still in trouble, kids still running crazy. Sometimes practice the vocabulary of silence. Look what it says here in verse 14. And Jesus answered and said to it, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And who heard it? Disciples. They didn't overhear it. They heard it. Notice what he's doing. He's teaching. Why? Because he's got to go. My job is not to have you to always depend on me. It's not always to have you somebody else do your praying for you. Now, my job is to have you to have a relationship with God. You and him. So he goes down to Jerusalem, does some business down there, turn over some cash registers. Look at verse 19. And when the evening was come, they went out of the city. Now they went out of the city and went back past that tree. But nothing happened. Who is that? Dr. Frederick Casey Price said he had gotten hold of the word that God has in the Bible on prosperity. And he just began to grab a hold of that. And people had him teaching those principles going from Northern California all the way down to El Segundo, whatever it is, all the way down. He was teaching it all up and down the coast of California. He said, but what happened is he was believing God for a new Lincoln car. And you know, that was something in those days, that big Lincoln. And at the moment, he was driving a car that had been wrecked in the front, in the back, and on both sides by his daughters. And he said he'd pull up at the church. And his wife didn't quite have the revelation yet. So he'd pull up at the church, go in there and preach his powerful message on prosperity. And he said she tried to rush him out to get in the car to get away before anybody saw what they were driving. No. Listen, you can be saying it and not yet have it manifest. But hold fast to confession of your faith without wavering. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. See, if you're confessing something, they don't see it in your life. See there? Well, you just hang on. Because if they don't change it, God's going to be true and every man's going to be a liar. All right, so let's look at the next verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter calling to remembrance and said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is what? Withered away. And Jesus said to them, what? Have faith in God. Now, in other words, have the God kind of what? Faith. Or, as I teach our congregation, have God's faith. It's not your faith. Take His righteousness, not your righteousness. Take His love, not your love. Take His name, not your name. Take His life, not your life. Take His faith, not your faith. And you start using His faith, it'll move anything. So what does faith first deal with? And I'm finishing up now. Faith deals with the invisible. Faith deals with the invisible. Everything God has for you is already done. It's already there. How far out is it? It's a membrane away. A membrane away. It's like when you step out of this body and your body ceases to exist. When you get to be 120 years old, or Jesus comes first, your body ceases to exist. You step out of this body, you step into the presence of Jesus. Glory to God. And what am I telling you? Faith can fix anything. And I don't know what you're going through, but this is the last week you're going to go through it. That whatever has been harassing you, glory to God. I came to make a prophetic announcement. It will harass you no more. Last place, 1 Samuel chapter 30. How long are you slack to go in to possess your inheritance? Well, your days of slackness are over. So here is David. He's going out to fight the battle with all his men. He comes back to his camp. The enemy has invaded his camp, run off with everything, including the provision and the people. Now you are sent to get back both. Both the people, come on, and the property. Everything Satan stole comes back to you. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians 3:21, I'm about to get dogmatic now, all things are yours. Now, when he says all things, he means all things. From the surface to the core of this earth, it belongs to you. Somebody said, I thought it belonged to Jesus. It does. And you are a joint heir with him. I was preaching in South Carolina, and Brother Copeland was preaching right after me. Here I was. I finished preaching, and he came out on the stage, and he comes out. You know how he kind of talks a little bit, but Bill, you know, and talking to the people, the big auditorium, huge auditorium. And then he said this, chaplain, come up here. And Major Downing, who was chaplain, he was sponsoring the meeting. And he told me, I asked him to tell the story. He said, yeah, I told him I'm telling it all over the world. And so Brother Copeland pulled out his keys. He said, God spoke to me and told me to give you my new Escalade. Here are the keys. Boom. He took the key. Watch this. I'm sitting on the second row, first seat. I'm sitting on the first row, second seat. His wife sitting in the first seat right beside me. When he transferred them keys, she jumped up out of the seat, whirled around. Woo! And I said to myself, he ain't talking to you. You know, yes, he was. Come on. She's a joint. Come on. Come on, saints. Come on. Hear the keys. Come on. Hear the keys. Hear the keys to your new house. Hear the keys to your new car. Come on. Hear the key to your lockbox. Hear the key to your gold supply. Hear the keys to new inventions. I'm telling you, this week, you got the keys. Not only did you get the keys, when you out of here at 120 or when Jesus come back, your kids, I'm telling you, they're going to take the keys and they're going to double the keys and triple the keys. This is is about to be, you are going to it this week. This week. I said this week. This, from this week, you are going into the greatest time of your life. I said, you are no longer going to get small gifts. You're about to get big gifts. Come on. 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 50,000, 100,000 at a time. Stop expecting $1 and $2. Start expecting $1 and $2,000. Come on, start expecting 20 and 30. Yes, expect a miracle. Come on. Now, don't think you got to work for this. This has already been worked for. Jesus worked for it. He bought and paid for it. It is yours, and all you need is faith. Don't try to earn it. Don't try to qualify. Just ask God and receive it. Now, you can tell all your lack bye-bye, because you'll never be broke another day in your life. Do you believe the prophet? I need some crazy faith up in here. We've been too proper. We've been too sedity, like they call it down south. We need some crazy faith. We need people whose minds are no longer controlled by what makes sense. When God said do this, they do that. When he said say this, they say that. When he said receive this, they'll receive it. Now I'm telling you, Lord have mercy. I said, Lord, have mercy. This week, something got loaded in you. No longer is your salary going to be your limit. It's going to be your seed. I command every debt in the sound of my voice to be paid off. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Pastors, get ready. You're going to be pastoring some rich folk. Why? Because we got a job to do, saints. And we've been trying to do God's work on our salary. Those days are over. You're going to be doing God's work on the harvest God's going to be bringing into your life. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Yeah, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Oh, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Hey, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right.
He told me everything is gonna be alright. Hey, Jesus, he told me everything is gonna be alright. Be alright, be alright.
Hey,
be alright. Hey.
The Holy Ghost.
Oh, the Holy Ghost told me.
chapter 11 and verse 3. You put it up there. He can come down. He can come. Through faith, we understand. Don't be trying to pull the word down into your logic. You don't know how God's going to do it. Here's all the prophet said. Tomorrow, about this time. Yeah. I said, he said, tomorrow, about this time. Sit down. See, it's not for us to try to figure out how this is going to happen. That's not your job. Once you start doing that, you pull the faith out of it, and God can't deliver it. I told you, every debt, I spoke it. Every debt, when the word is released, receive. I'm saying we are not going into next year with that same debt. I said we are not going into next year with that same debt. Now you have got to get some crazy faith. You know what? Well, I'm kind of shy, Reverend. I'm kind of shy. Get out of it. Get over it. All right. Now, what are we? Where's David? What do we do now? Where is he? What happened to him? Offering. Sit down. Get your money ready. Come on. I need some crazy faith. We need to stop trying to pay, you know, pity pat here. Let's get some crazy faith, man. I told my wife this morning, this afternoon, she said, when do you want to put in? I said, double it. I'm not talking about something for me. I'm talking about something for you. You got to get out of this thing where your natural reasoning is trying to tell you what to do. That the man preached it last night. Man, that thing last night, boy, that thing's still ringing in me. Supernatural. You got to do something uncommon. Amen. You got it made out? I'll sign it. You know, somebody right over here is about to blow up. Now, get ready now, because when you start increasing like that, fruit draws flies. Everything is attracted to fruit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So get ready to love people. But notice they can't stop you.
That's right.
If you stay in faith.
Yes, sir.
Folks, this has been a very powerful meeting. Do you agree this has been one of the most powerful meetings that we have ever had, I have ever attended? By internet, participate in the giving. Get some crazy faith. Amen. Thank you, Doc. Praise God. You know, when you listen to everybody else all week, you almost don't want to preach. You just want to, you know, yeah. But it's all good. It's all good. All right, y'all got it? Y'all got it about ready? Bishop Simmons, why don't you come on up here? Good honors here. Sacramento Christian Center.